Hello, everybody. It's Mike here from the Super Sumo Brothers. I'm here, as always, with Andrew.
Hey, everyone.
And we're just going to jump right into it, I think, today. I feel like I haven't really talked sumo. After having a pretty intense Haruba show, I haven't really talked sumo a lot, which makes me sad, actually.
Yeah, I think we had a good coverage in pretty much like quarter one. Like we did a lot in January, had our mid episode in February, talked a lot in March. But yeah, since then it's been pretty radio silent.
It hasn't really been a ton of news. I mean, there's obviously some we'll touch on, but but yeah, I think overall it's been pretty quiet. I think a lot of Japanese media attention is starting to switch towards the Olympics and how like that's gonna work. And
yeah,
COVID and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and like not to get sidetracked, but like I'm super excited about the Olympics, but at the same time it's like, how can you really hold them? And like it's just not going to feel the same. Like it's only locals, so like you're not going to have any like foreign support coming in. Like you're not going to have the USA like have fans come out and cheer for them. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very like hometown support, but
yeah,
even then it's still going to be weird with no one in attendance.
I feel like though of countries that would show support for other countries, like Japan would be one of those. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like
I completely agree.
I think like, you know, because I mean, especially now that they know like how special this is going to be and like unique, not necessarily special but unique.
Yeah.
I think if any country could do it right, I wouldn't trust America to do it. But
oh, absolutely.
I feel like Japan would be a country that could kind of wave the flag for everybody.
I agree, because they no matter where they are, that the Japanese culture always seems to show a lot of respect. So that's why I could see it. Like I think it was at the I want to say the FIFA World Cup a couple of years ago. It was a match. I forget who the match was between, but Japan was one of them and everyone left. But like the Japanese fans stayed behind and like cleaned up the stadium. Mm. And at least local media around here was like, oh, it was so weird seeing them. And I was like, that's not weird. That's being very respectful. And it's very, you know, reflective of how they are as a culture, like going over there, like everything's super clean. They don't throw trash anywhere. Like, you know, like their subways are clean, the trains are clean and like things like that. But yeah, I could see them being very supportive come the Olympics. But
yeah, but anyway, so yeah. Before we get further sidetracked on Olympics, which I am super excited about, we should do this Olympic episode.
Oh yeah, because I know a lot about the the breaststroke.
I get the skeet shooting. I know. Yeah. You know. Oh. Yeah.
But sign anyway, me up for a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one episode.
It'll be a special. Mm-hmm. Are they doing is? So wait, Olympics are, yeah, it's not during sumo anyway, so I don't think it'll be an issue.
No, I think is the Olympics in June.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so it might be like June and like the first week of July. I don't know. I'm usually like right on top of the date, but with everything going on, it's like
yeah,
I don't even know what month it is right now. I'm lucky, yeah, I know it's May.
I remember trying to get tickets for that, and I'm so glad I didn't now.
Yeah, I know you were pretty excited about going too.
Yeah, I felt like because it was all raffle, so like you had to just like hope you got tickets.
Yeah, so it looks like the I don't know if these dates. This says 2020, but I know that's obviously not the case for dates. So Friday. Yeah, so the 2020 Summer Olympics in 2021 is how they lift it. July 23rd to August 8th. So it'll be after the July Ba show.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll go right from sumo into Olympics. So
it'll be a lot of obscure sports for a lot of people.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, so jumping in, we'll start at the top. I haven't seen the Banzuke, nor have you.
Nope.
Just like, you know, some obvious news out there, which we'll touch on real quick. Just Terunofuji is Ozeki, as everyone expected, and Hakuho is out.
Honestly, I think the bigger news is probably Hakuho being out, because like I think it takes away from the fact that like next tournament he has to do something, and I believe he's back in July. But he's coming off a knee surgery, so I don't know if 3 or 4 months is going to be enough. But I could have sworn I thought they said that he was going to be back in July. And then that was going to be like his ultimatum. A ultimatum was, you got to do something or else we're really, really going to have the discussion, I guess. Because they've already warned him twice. Usually they get one. Like Cockerill, who retired, that's another news, really only got a warning once. And he couldn't perform. And he was like, forget it. I'll just retire. I got my citizenship. I'll retire now.
Yeah.
And I think that was something else too, is they, a little bit of other news that came out was, and I might be wrong on this, but I thought it was that they're trying to get rid of foreign born, Heia stable masters. Oh, so really? Like Hakuho could potentially not be able to have his own Heia once he retires. I thought that was a thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. That and the weird thing is apparently it very seldom happens where someone who's foreign born takes over one anyways. So it's not like this is like, you know, they're overrun with international Rikishi coming in and taking jobs or like, you know, building their own stables. It's usually Japanese wrestlers who are doing it. And, you know,
that's something like that. I kind of like, and kind of hate about some aspects of Japan. It's like I'll reference MPB poorly. So the, you know, Nippon Professional Baseball League, they only allow a certain amount of foreign players on their team.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's like you can't. There's like a limit. Let me look it up while I'm talking about it, so I don't sound like a total fool.
I mean, I guess that I could kind of see it where, because like the U.S. like U.S. baseball players are typically we play big ball. Like we hit for a home run and power, while Japanese is very small ball, speed, stealing, sacrifice bunts, bloop singles, things like that. But I wonder if it really has nothing to do with the style of game. Just like you can't bring in outsiders because there's too many foreigners that you could bring in, I guess. I don't know.
So what it is now these days in the time that we've been watching it, there's no organizational limit. So you can have as many as you want, but you can only have 4 active on the roster and maximum of 3 pitchers or fielders.
Interesting.
So where I was going with that is like, I kind of like that they limit that kind of thing, like foreign interaction. And like, again, in sumo too, I think it's that, to get into a Heia, it's pretty difficult. If you're foreign, from my understanding.
Yeah. Especially if it's if you're not coming from Mongolia,
right. Yeah.
Like we saw, like, you know, Tochi Noshin is probably the most successful foreigner outside of Mongolia. It's like Kaisei from Brazil. There was Osuna Rashi from Egypt. I think he also broke the barrier with being the first Muslim too to do it. So yeah, like trying to get into a Heia of like as a foreign born is pretty, and being able to climb the ranks too is pretty hard.
Yeah, but it's just like that kind of irks me that they wouldn't. Well, I mean, but at the same time, this is kind of where I was going with this, is like I see why they wouldn't want to allow it, just because then it's like, I feel like that Heia would have a tendency to just bring in foreigners and become like the foreigner Heia.
See, I don't know. I think he would just try and recruit whoever's the best. So if like your local talent is locals, then
yeah,
I don't know. I don't see, because it hasn't been a problem in the past with them bringing in too many foreigners. At least I'm not aware of it.
No, I mean first of all, you got to be interested in it, which we know is pretty rare. I mean, outside of you know, like East Asia, like it's not a very popular sport across the world. It's no soccer, but yeah, it's not very often you see people outside of Mongolia or Japan really competing. But yeah, I don't know, that kind of, it's like a double-edged sword. It's kind of nice that they don't allow it, but at the same time it's kind of annoying I think it would be good for them to have, especially Hakuho, be able to open a Heia.
Yeah, I think of all people, I would allow Hakuho to be the guy to do it. And it would, like, if they put this rule in like just before he retires, like that kind of sucks.
That's kind of like a shot at him, I feel like, from like the Sumo Association. I don't know. I feel like they got like weird beef with him. But like they're super lenient with him, but like maybe they like feel like he's kind of playing him a bit because he's the best. You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean, if he's bringing in your crowds and
yeah, I mean he's holding all the cards right now.
I mean, he's the face. Yeah, he's your face of sumo right now. There's no one else that you really look at in the sport and can really say like, hey, that's the guy we're gonna bank on being there every time. Like,
yeah, it's I don't know. It's so strange that oh, that would even be considered, I guess. I don't know. I never even thought of it really, but
yeah.
yeah. But anyway, so Hakuho out, as you mentioned, but those are that's the big news there. But we can jump into the Banzai now that we're 15 minutes in. but we got four Ozeki at the top, which I'm a big fan of.
I always love seeing four there. I don't know if it's just because we call it like the original four, like for us, like we had Koshikiku and Guido, Terunofuji was part of that group, and Casino Sato. I was like, who's the fourth guy? Yeah. I love scene four. I don't know, maybe it's just because it's balanced, but I'm pretty excited about this group of Ozeki.
I mean, that means you get like three good matches guaranteed, I feel like. Like, you know what I mean? For each of those wrestlers, like Asunyama can hang against most of the guys up there. You know, of course, like Terunofuji, I think, is probably your strongest Ozeki at the moment. But Takakesho is very technical, as I've mentioned a million times. And Shodai, I kind of feel like is the wild card there.
Yeah,
But
and he's Kadoban this tournament, which is.
yeah, so yeah, that's going to be extra pressure on him. But yeah, it could mean we don't have four Ozeki for very long. But yeah, I think like out of the four of them, early hot take, best record out of the Ozeki ranks. I'm gonna say Takakesho.
Yeah, I honestly, I think it's going to be a Terunofuji repeat. So,
I mean,
I mean, when you look at his head, so his head to head against the other, so Asuninama, he's 5-0 against Takakesho, he's 2-2, and Shodai, he's 2-0. So he doesn't have a ton of experience between the three of them, but
The experience he does have.
I mean, he's the best out of anyone who's in Senyaku or Ozeki, and there's no Yokozuna, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
And I mean, Takakesho and Asuniya kind of split it last time in both 10 and 5. But I don't know. I feel like Takakesho is he's the sleeper up there right now. I feel like people are going to overlook him. Like Shodai is obviously a little bit in the spotlight because he's Kataban. Also Yama, I feel like, I don't know, again, I'm not in tune with the Japanese media, but I feel like he's kind of the most popular Ozeki up there right now.
It's because I mean, if you love like we loved Casino Sato because he was consistent. This is our present day Casino Sato, the guy who has at least 10 wins. He's pretty consistent. He's got a handful of Junyu shows. He's just one win away from a couple of these tournaments of having multiple Yu shows because right now he only has one. I mean, Terunofuji is your leader, your active leader with three. Mitake only has two. But yeah, like he's consistent 12 and 3, 7 and 8, 10 and 5, 11 and 4, 10 and 5, 11 and 4, 12 and 3, 10 and 5, 1, 2 and 12 in November. He pulled out 11 and 4, 10 and 5. Like if he's not injured, he's getting double digits. And that's how it's been since, 2 years ago this month. Those were all his numbers.
I think he's more of a he fights a little bit more flair than Takakesho, or even Shodai, I feel like.
Yeah, Takakesho, I think he's really just a thruster. Like, I don't think there's a lot to his game, but like what he does, he's really good at it, which is why he's so effective. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I want Takakesho to do well. Like, I'd like for him to get a third Yu show, and have someone who's not Terunofuji actually show up. I still think it's gonna be Asunoyama though. Takakesho, for some reason, still scares me a little bit, and I don't have a lot of faith in Shodai.
Yeah, Shodai is definitely the weakest of the four Ozeki. And then, yeah, I would say it's a toss up for Takakesho, Asunayama, what you would expect out of them, and then Terunofuji is obviously the favorite. Especially with no Yokozuna in the mix here. Terra Fuji is essentially your pseudo Yokozuna at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I think that'll probably be the most. I mean, we haven't got down the Banzuke yet, but that's super interesting to me. How the Ozekis end up this tournament, especially since they did, you know, considering their Ozekis pretty poorly across the board last tournament.
Yep.
All right, moving down to Sekiwake. Takayasu. Takayasu makes me so sad just saying his name out loud.
It's just like, it was so predictable. Like, I got so excited and I was like, nope, you can't get excited. He's done this like 5 or 6 times before in his career where he's got off to at least like a 7-2 start and he blows it. I don't know who it is at the end that he's like facing, if it's because he's got like the big dogs at the end and that's what he's fighting, or if it's just that he gets too nervous, he gets in his own head, he gets pressure and he loses it. But yeah, like 10-5, that looks on par for a 7-2 start. Like, it's so disappointing because I was so excited. There was
it was his to lose. We said it multiple times. But unfortunately, it was not in the cards for him. Then you got Taka no show.
Yep, who stays right in place.
Stays where he was.
Yep, Sekiwake West.
And then going down to, I mean, that, I think we were pretty, we expected the upper ranks of the Senyaku to be pretty much the same with the addition of Terano Fuji.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone in Senyaku finished above 500. You know, everyone at Ozeki, with the exception of Shodai, also was at 500 or above. So yeah, pretty much everyone stayed put in Senyaku. So like the Takeomi and Daisho to go with the Komasubi.
Mm-hmm.
Both were 8-7 last tournament. So
yep, Takeomi. See if we can maybe see a better Takeomi this tournament, hopefully. Though I've kind of folded on Takeomi at this point.
There was an article that said that he's trying to get double digits this tournament. I hope he can.
I also, I think he's a great fighter. He's just, I don't know.
I mean, it's crazy to think that he has your second most tournament wins right now. I mean, he hasn't won one since September of 2019. But behind Terano Fuji, it's him and Taka Keisho. Taka Keisho, I think, are your other two active leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see how he does. I think, like, I just, his starts, I think, are crucial to him. The first 8 days, he's got to do well. And maybe lose one or two coming out of the first 8 if he wants to have a shot. He went last tournament by the first 8, he was 3-4. Going into day eight, he was 3-4, obviously, but 4-4 by day 8. I don't think he can split like that. I think he needs more of like a 6-2 to finish up, because he does well in the second half. He just has to get those wins early.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking, like, it's so funny how getting early losses. And then again, we said this about Terano Fuji, I think, like 2 tournaments ago, where we were like, oh, he took like 2 out of the first 5 days. It's almost over. And like, he came back and had a killer second half. But I think with a lot of guys, like, if you start bad early, it's almost always downhill from there.
And Terano Fuji definitely has some good mental muscle. I feel like, I think that's been proven at this point.
Yeah. He doesn't, I don't think he cracks under pressure.
Yeah. I mean, he would have given up ages ago, I feel like, if that was the case.
You know what? Yes, I would say his mental strength, I think, overall is very strong. Because, yeah, no one goes down as far as he does and doesn't just lose that motivation to want to fight your way back up. Like, once in, say, I can't stand Terano Fuji. I really love the story of him coming all the way back. I think it's one of the best stories that's come out of sumo. And I would probably say since Kota Shikyuku won the Basho, kind of breaking that Mongolian wall that had happened up for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that's a great story for him to like come back from what he went through and make it back up.
Yeah.
So,
moving out of the Senyaku, got my boy, Wakatakakage.
Yeah.
Sure one.
I think a lot of people have some high expectations for him up here. And I'm not
surprised. As much as I love him, I don't, but
I think I don't know what his head-to-head is against some of the guys that are above him.
I think this would be a great challenge for him.
I mean, like, we said the same thing last tournament. He was Magashira 2. So he's going to face most of the same guys, and he finished 10-5.
Yeah, that's true.
And the only five that he took losses to was Takanosho, Taranofuji, who went on to win the Yusho, Mitaki Umi, Asunayama, another Ozeki, and then Aoyama down at Magashira 12. But Aoyama finished as with the June Yusho. So Aoyama was fighting out of his mind last tournament.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like he beat Daisho, he beat Takayasu, he beat Hokuto Fuji, who I think went down, or no, he might be sitting right there too. He beat Onosho at the time was Magashira 1, beat Shodai, Takakeisho, so he beat some of the sitting Ozeki.
Yeah, yeah, he was definitely no slouch for sure. I think, like, again, another guy who I think needs to start strong. You know, again, back in July, in January, he was injured, but December, or rather November of 2020, really, really bad start. Got most of his losses in the first 8 days, and then, you know, kind of recovered. And again, even in March, he got 4 of his 5 losses in the first 5 days. So, or 6 days, rather. So he needs to, I think it's going to be important for him to come out of the gate hot. And I think we'll know by like day 8, where he's going to end up.
Yeah. Cause he was on the leaderboard, I think heading into like day 12, which at that point you kind of know how it's shaping up. So the fact that he was at least competitive that late, is pretty good, but yeah, he's 1-1 versus Takakeisho. He is 3-1 versus Takayasu, 0-3 versus Mitaki Umi, Taranofuji. I believe it. This is 2-1-3, but I don't know what that 2-1. Actually, it's supposed to be 2-3-1, 2 wins, 3 losses, and 1 Fusen.
I mean, 3 walkovers. That's like,
yeah, yeah.
It's got to be some fucking witchcraft going on there or something.
Yeah, I don't know why it has 1 listed second, but it's in brackets, so that's why I figured that was the 1 walkover win.
But yeah. So we'll see how he does. I mean, I'm pulling for him. I love Wakatsuki Kage. I think he's awesome, and he's part of, again, we talked about it a lot last episode, just that new age of I don't know, I'm just calling it spastic fighting, where it's, there's obviously technique to it, but it's not as technical as, say, a Takakeisho would be, and it doesn't bring the power like a Taranofuji. It's just kind of do whatever it takes to win kind of fighting style. Yeah. But moving over to the West, you got Hokuto Fuji, who's just been hanging out up there.
Yeah, he's kind of just hanging around. Magashira 1-2, you know, taking
the
sights.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. Yeah, yeah,
like, sights and sounds, kind of where he's been chilling the last 3 or 4 tournaments.
More than that, he's been there for... So going back to... We'll go back to July of 2020.
Looking back, yeah.
He's just been hanging out top 5 the whole time.
I mean, can even go back to November of 2018. Magashira 1, Magashira 2, Komasubi, Magashira
1. Yeah, that's really weird. Yeah, he's just like a keeping out of the senyaku kind of guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if you want another guy who's consistent, he's just consistently at Magashira 1 or 2.
That's kind of interesting, actually. That gives me a new appreciation for Hokuto Fuji, I think. He's one to watch, I think, in terms of... I feel like he's a guy who could play spoiler up there, too.
Yeah.
You know, with how consistent he is. And, you know, you're coming into... like an 8-0 record or something, and you fight him, I think that's going to mix things up. But I feel like he's a good one to throw some of the mid to low Magashiras at. You know what I mean? Even if Hokuto Fuji himself is not doing well.
Yeah.
Like if you got like a Magashira 13 on like a 10-0 run, you throw him Hokuto Fuji. I think that's a good challenge.
Yeah, I think he's a good entry level into getting into Senyaku, because he almost has that Senyaku ability.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's not a Senyaku guy. He's like a Senyaku extension.
Yeah. He's Komasubi too.
Yeah.
He's Komasubi. Like, but yeah. So that'll be that. That's I might keep my eye on him more than usual. I didn't realize that he'd been up in the top five so much.
Yeah. No, he's pretty consistent up there. So he's kind of, like I said, takes in the sights and the sounds of, you know, hey, I can see this in Yaku, but I just kind of can't break it down and get in.
And we got Meisei going down to Maeshira 2.
Yeah, I mean, that top, those top six ranks, I mean,
that's pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, we had Wakataka Kage 10-5, Meisei 10-5, Aoyama 11-4, once again, Jun Yusho, Hokuto Fuji 9-6, Tobi Zaru 10-5, who's now at a career high. Shinokuni was 8-5-2. But it's crazy to think that even with those two missed matches, he's still Magashira 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, that top six could be, you know, could be no joke. I mean, Aoyama, I think, might be the weakest out of the top six. Like, I think he just had a freak tournament.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he shows up again and goes on another run and makes things interesting going into day 15.
I didn't realize Tobi Zaru was from Tokyo.
Is he?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I had no idea. Wakataka Kage is from Fukushima.
Oh, nice.
Which is interesting. So yeah, Tobi Zaru on the right, or rather the left, west. Again, another guy I'm pulling for. I think he's a exciting fighter. Should be good to watch. Oyama, as you mentioned, Magashira 3. Again, I agree that I think that was just a fluke. But we'll see.
Let's see. He's had 11. Let's see, March of 2020. He had 12 in. Okay, so he must just love March, because so March of this year, 11-4. March of last year, 11-4. March the year before, 12-3.
Wow, that's
he loves March.
That's super weird.
And those are his last three double-digit wins. Have been the last three Marches.
That's bizarre. Yeah, I wouldn't be betting on him. No. And that's up from March year 12.
Yeah, you got
that's
a huge jump.
Huge jump. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, rightfully so. I mean, you were the runner-up, and I think a lot of the middle of the pack was kind of mixed, because we were trying to figure out, like, who are they really going to move up?
Yeah.
And I guess we'll get into some of the just barely 500 guys right about now.
Yeah, yeah. So now we're getting into, Oyama, the March Master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently.
And Shinokuni, who I like Shinokuni. He's a cool guy. Seems like a very nice guy. Like, I think I mentioned it last two episodes we've done, but he did kind of like a special on NHK, and he seemed like a pretty nice guy. Like, does charity and stuff like that. So I'm sure they all do.
I think a lot of the Chiyo guys, like, that seems to be, I would almost say, like, a stable favorite in, like, the sumo community. Like, there's always pictures of like, Chiyomaru and Chiyotairu and like, I think that stable, the Kokono, is just, there's something about them that everyone loves, and it's going to be a great stable. And I mean, for us, it's the Sadagatake stable, but there's not a lot of coverage for Sadagatake. It seems to get a lot. I don't know if it's just because, like, I follow the fans of that stable, and that's just kind of how I found my way in, or if it's just like they're just a very popular stable.
Yeah, that's like something I would be super interested to add. Like, I don't know. I wish there was a day that we could talk to, like, I don't know, somebody like deep into, like, not necessarily like an NHK broadcast or something like that, but like,
they're like just John, like, Gunning?
just like an old school, just like, or not even old school, like some dude in his mid 40s who's been a sumo fan since he was like a kid, and like from Japan, and like has just followed the sport, like, you know, like we, like I follow the Bruins or whatever, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
and just could speak to a lot of the history in like the recent years, like in the last 10 to 15 years, you know what I mean? And like the stables and that kind of thing. That would be a fun,
be pretty cool.
Sit down and talk. Cause yeah, like I don't, that's like something that kind of, even, you know, you do a really good job of getting information from the media from over there, but even that's not really tapping into all of it, of course.
I think like Chris Sumo on YouTube does like a ton of coverage, and like even sitting down with him, who's like, he's been covering sumo, and he's probably, I have no idea how old he is, and I'm guessing he's also not from Japan, but he's probably got enough knowledge that like even sitting down with someone like that, would be a blast to kind of just like pick his brain and you know, figure out, because he's got to be with the media, because like he's posted videos and it looks like he's like up in the rafters like taking video. I'm like, you got to be something with the media, because the way you, like the shots that he gets, it's just crazy.
Yeah, so jealous, man. I wish I could. I'm missing Sumo. So like going to see Sumo is like one of my favorite things. That was so much fun.
If we had done nothing else on our trip except see Sumo, I would have been super excited. Like that was
I would consider that going to Japan and just going to 7 days of Sumo would be amazing, because like you can get there pretty early and then, or as late as you want, really.
Correct. And then you can like still go out and like do things at night. Like when we were in Fukuoka, we went and like saw Sumo for the 2 days, and then we were able to go out afterwards and like went to bars. We did karaoke, which was awesome. But like, you can get in, like you can watch like 5 hours worth of Sumo, and usually it's like good Sumo from like noon to five. That's like Sadane and Makushita, Juryo and Makuchi. Like,
and it doesn't even really get super crowded until close to like 3:30. Like upper Magashira starts is when it starts getting a little dicey.
But it doesn't get boring either. Like it always seems like it's always moving. There's no pauses. It's not like, you know, with like hockey where there's like intermission for 20 minutes and you're like, oh God, like,
you're
going to sit here while they do the ice. This is fun. Or like halftime in football, you're like, oh geez, or just watching baseball in general.
Watching baseball. Yeah.
I love baseball, but
Japanese baseball, man, they don't have any breaks. It's awesome. They just switch over and then there's no commercials. It's just I don't know. But anyway. But yeah, it's I miss going. I'm getting a sidetracked. I'm so longing for a Japan trip at some point. I just want the world to get back to normal. All right, so now we're kind of in like the mixed bag group here. You were saying, you know, like the top six up to, you know, from Magashira 3 up to Ozeki is pretty tight. But this is where I think it's kind of all over the road in anybody's game.
Yeah, I think the person I'll be looking at most is going to be Miyagiru. And the reason is because his stablemate was Hibikiru, the one who recently passed away from the head injury. So I'd be interested to see, you know, how he competes. Because I know last year when I just lost his name. Shobushi, when he died from COVID, Ryuden was a really good friend of his. And you could see that it was probably bothering him that like he lost a friend. And I'm interested to see how Miyagiru does with you know, how he competes. I'll be pulling for him. I want him to go 15-0.
That would be great. And that was, for those who may not know, it was a lower ranked sumo. What was he in? He was in
he was down in Sadanme.
Sadanme, that's right. I didn't know if he was in Makushita or Sadanme.
Yeah, he was down in Sadanme 65.
Yeah, and in short, he pretty much he went in for Tachi-ai, kind of got, you know, tossed down.
Landed
on his head pretty much.
It was a complete freak accident.
It definitely wasn't like any wrestler's fault there. It was...
He landed on his head. He pretty much sat motionless for about 5 minutes. No one did anything. No one reacted. They even went down and like did like the ceremonial squat to say like the end of the match, where you would get your money, all the formalities. And you could see the guy who did it like looked down at him and was like, I can't believe I'm about to do this. Like, this is almost disgusting, because like he's clearly not moving. So he was ended up being hospitalized. His stable master came out the next day, so they were trying to do their best, and apparently it got worse last Wednesday. He passed away due to a blood clot in his lung because of the paralysis that was a result of the head injury. So they've taken some steps towards trying to remediate the whole people aren't allowed on the dojo, and just seems like every year there's always something, yeah, new scandal with sumo where it's like, you guys are trying so hard to perfect your image or like fix your image, but you just can't like. Go on.
And it's things they could easily fix. Like, yeah, have a friggin' doctor there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're going to try and do. Like, they're going to have, so they're having like classes to, which is kind of embarrassing. Like, I feel like you should just have doctors there who are professionals and they're not going to do like workshops on injuries. Like, that's kind of messed up.
Hey, if a guy is laying on the ground for 5 minutes, you should go help him.
And there were some people who on Twitter were saying that, you know, the reason he died is because they didn't react quick enough, where I'm like, I don't know if that's.
I don't know if you can confirm that.
Correct. But... like whether they got in there and they moved him in 2 minutes or 5 minutes, I don't know if the long term damage was already done the minute he made contact.
Yeah.
So but you gotta respond fast to that. You can't let a guy like, imagine that happening in the NHL. Like,
oh yeah.
Like there was an injury last night in the Bruins game with the one of the goalies from Buffalo. Like, he went down, you could see, like, pulled his knee, and like the ref was like instantly calling over the like the medic staff to come over and help him out, like, immediately.
Yeah like, it's
the guy was like, you know, Hibikiura was knocked out completely.
Oh yeah, if you out. Yeah, if you see the video, like,
it's gruesome and like
it's hard to watch. Yes. Like, it's hard to watch the first 30 seconds and it goes on for 5.5 more minutes.
Yeah,
like it's ridiculous. Like, just, and we've been saying things like that long before this happened.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think since our very first episode on here, we've been talking about the lack of medical attention given to some of these guys. And it's not about, like, it shouldn't be about tradition or about, like, you know, the sport or, like, they signed up for this. It's like, that kind of stuff is just unacceptable. Yeah, he signed up to potentially have that happen, but he didn't sign up to be left out there on clay for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, like, they tried to figure out what to do. Like, that's just embarrassing.
Like, there were people that were joking. They were like, oh, I didn't even realize we had a stretcher here. Like, that's how clueless and, like, they've never had to do that before. Like, what if they had, what if they brought the stretcher out and it wasn't big enough?
Yeah.
Like now you have to figure out, like, you have to regroup and try and figure out, like, we have to move this guy who weighs 350 pounds. Like, and it wasn't even stretch, it was like, it's almost like what you would have seen like the military, just like a piece of wood with some cloth between it, and they like picked him up and moved him out. Like, it wasn't like it was a full-on, like, yeah, it was rough to watch.
But
yeah, like that goes like, yeah, like it goes back to like the 2018 incident with the official who collapsed on the clay, and a woman jumped in the ring to try and help him. Yeah. And they were like, no, you have to go away, you can't be up here, because she was a woman. It's like, are you kidding me?
It's like, I understand, again, I get the tradition stuff, but that's just barbaric to like a degree. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. Like,
yeah,
it's the 21st century. Like, let's get everybody get over it. Like,
yeah, like, if you don't want him like wrestling, okay, sure, whatever. If it's only been like a male, whatever. But like she... I don't know. It was stupid. I couldn't believe that he just sat there, and I was like, you're really not going to do anything.
Cause like, what would, like, I don't know. I'm sure people in Japan would strongly disagree, but like, what if like your favorite wrestler was up there and that was happening to you, and like the only option, or like, what if it was like your son or something? And the only option was like a female doctor who happens to be sitting near the corner of the ring.
Yeah. And I don't,
and it's a matter of life or death and time, and like, and the Japanese Sumo Association was like, no, you can't go up there and help him because you're a woman.
I almost think that, and I think this is the case with every country and a lot of just almost people in general, like, if it doesn't happen to you directly, you almost don't care about it. And that's can be a lot of stuff that happens here in the States or with other, in certain countries, where it's like, oh, I don't care what's happening in that country because it doesn't bother me directly. But the minute it does, that's when you have an issue with it. It's like, no, you should have an issue with it because it's a general problem.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Gotta get response time,
but
yeah, so that's Miragiru, and that's why I'm pulling for a nice 15-0 from him.
Yeah, hopefully he gets a good turnout. He had a 7-8, so nothing too egregious, especially for that particular pack he was with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of 5-10s, 6-9s.
He stayed where he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's back at Magashira 4 West.
So let's see if he can I'm pulling for at least 10. I think 10's realistic, and especially with who he'll be fighting.
Yeah, he's gotten 10 twice.
So keep an eye on him for sure.
Yeah. We'll be fighting with a heavy heart, but we'll all be cheering for him.
Yep. And so we got Hoshoru, Onosho, Harinomi, Ichinojo, who's the one I want to kind of highlight in the Mixture 5 and 6. Again, just a guy we kind of always poke at and keep an eye on, since he's one of the long time guys that we've been watching, but is younger than going on. And he's staying at Magashira 6 with his 7-8 record.
And that's what I'm saying. Like any other tournament, I feel like you would have got at least like a 1-rank demotion for a 7-8. It was just like that middle of the pack was so bad that they just kept a lot of people like status quo. Like, this is where you're going to be, and we're totally okay with it.
Yeah. It's a weird Banzuke, but I guess it's because, I mean, obviously it's because the way the last, Basho played out, but I feel like any other tournament, these guys would at least be shifting down a rank.
Yeah. Like even getting into Tochinoshin.
Yeah. Tochinoshin again. Yeah.
Same exact spot.
Mm-hmm. Same exact spot. 7-8's got you at least keeping your rank this tournament, which is odd to see. It's not, not the common occurrence. And then we'll go down a little lower. You know, we got Endo, Tsurugisho. Yeah, he's newish.
He took the Yusho back in July of 2019. And then he took a second one. That was Juryo in 2019. Mm-hmm. And took another Juryo in 2021. So he's been up. You're right. He is kind of new. Yeah,
he's poked up. Like he was in Juryo all of last year for the most part, except for Magashira 15 and Magashira 12 in January and March of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But a majority of his time has been spent in Juryo. But had a really good finish to the tournament in March. Lost 7 of his first 8, or excuse me, 5 of his first 8, and then won it straight out until day 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Magashira 14. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'm gonna kind of keep my eye on him too. He's also from Tokyo, turns out. I'll be interested to see how he does. We got Endo, like I said, doing his Endo thing. He's doing his usual Endo rubber band.
Yeah, it's all over the place with him.
Shimano Umi. Yeah, whose name Umi. I'll get there someday.
Yeah.
Magashira 9. Kagiaki, who again we're familiar with. Again, lower middle of the pack kind of guys here, the usual crew. Then we're starting to get into some of the Kotos.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Koto Nowaka coming back and Koto Echo. So at 11 and 12, respectively. Okuno Umi dropping down to Magashira 12. That's pretty big drop for him. Not too crazy, but with a 3 and 12 at Magashira 5. Dropping all the way down to 12.
Yeah, he's entering retirement age.
Yeah, so depending
on how he does the rest of the year.
Because he was up Komasubi for a while.
Yeah,
at near the end of last year, at least two tournaments. I say a while, but I feel like that's a long time for sumos. Yeah. And then it's just been kind of a steady decline. I think he kind of peaked at the end of 2019. It's Magashira 12 is the lowest he's been since 2018, of November 2018. So we'll see how he does down there. And we got Akiyama Daimami. I like Daimami's name. It's good. It's a good name. Rounded out the bottom here. We also have, keep losing my bonds. Okay, I keep refreshing the page back. So.
Yeah, we get Ryuden at Magashira 14. Shiomaru on the opposite side, on the east, or on the west side, Shiotaru. Yeah.
Kaisei Yushin holding his own down here at the bottom.
Yeah, was he the same? 8-7, he went up one rank.
Went up one rank, yep.
There we go.
Ishiura's back.
Yeah, Ishiura's back, I think.
Everybody's favorite little guy.
Yep. Yeah, it was tough because there was a handful of guys down there. Like, I feel bad that Enho was actually 9-6 last tournament, and he didn't get pushed back up. But actually, I think I have more faith in Ishiura than I do Enho.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because at least Ishiura, like, you can see the muscle with him. With Enho, I almost feel like he doesn't have enough muscle yet to justify like being competitive for his size.
And then you got Chiyomaru, who's making his return to Magashira again. He's been up and down a bit, mostly in Juryo lately, but there's no stranger to Magashira. He usually goes on long stints in Juryo, looking at this right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who are just like your Juryo pack, and that's where they stay most of the time, and that's who you expect to see down there. And yeah, he's amongst those guys that seems to get into like high double digits Makuuchi, and then just can't
And just drops back down.
Yeah.
And Akua rounded out the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
He was did he win the Juryo Banzai or Basho? Who won Juryo? It wasn't him.
Let's take a look. I have
it right here. I'm just trying to see.
It's right here. It was Haku Yozan. He was Juryo 9 West.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Oh, yeah, there it is. So he's Haku Yozan is not. Is he listed here?
Yeah, Juryo 3.
Oh, okay. East. Wow, that's kind of brutal. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just not giving the difficulty of Juryo credit, but I feel like that's like, you got to just move him up.
Well, I mean, he was Juryo 9.
Yeah, that's pretty substantial.
And I guess the other thing is that, like, if you're not going to move Enho up, who was 9-6 from Magashira, was he last tournament? Enho was Juryo 4 at 9-6. I don't know if you could justify moving up,
someone who's going to win at Juryo 9. Yeah, I mean, regardless of who it is, really. Yeah. I see the point there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I think the real thing to watch is like the top six. I think those ranks are going to be pretty tough fought.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the pack, I'm not super interested in. It'll be interesting to see how the Sanagatake guys do, if they can get out of the double digits, get double digits wins to get out of the double digits of Magashira and get back up towards the top.
Actually, I didn't see, where's Kota Shoho?
Kota Shoho is not in here. I don't know why. So that's something.
So he's Juryo 5. That's right. He would be. Yeah, he was injured last time.
Right. Yeah, he pulled out. Yeah. I actually had forgotten. I get him and Kota Nowaka confused. Like, sometimes.
Yeah. No, they're both young. It's very easy to confuse them in terms of being the two younger guys in there. But, like, it's weird not seeing Kota Yuki on here anymore.
Yeah.
Obviously, he retired and.
He retired. No more who.
Yeah, he was never the same.
Never the same after they made him change that.
Yep.
He used to do a little whoa when he right before he fought, and then he got up to Senyaku. I think he was just Sekiwake too.
Yeah. Or
Kamasubi even. They made him stop. Because I think Hakuho didn't like it. I think that was the story I thought I read.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It's that Hakuho complained, and it forced him to stop.
Like, I don't even think that's like over the top either. Like, think about is that more of a problem than like
leaving Terutsu a guy Yoshi? Completely unconscious on the
clay? Yeah, I mean, I wasn't gonna go that extreme, but I was gonna say like Terutsu Yoshi throwing, you know, like 10 pounds of salt. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they both have their intros, and you know, it's not over the top. I mean, it's not like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin busting beers and like.
Yeah,
you know, doing
climbing
some crazy
up a ladder or something.
Like, yeah, you know, it's nothing crazy like that. But it's like, yeah, it was just a who, and maybe that's how he gets stoked. Like, I mean, if I slap myself hard enough and loud enough, would that be a problem?
Yeah,
like I don't know.
Get weird out there. But yeah, I think like so. What's your so aside from Terra Fuji, we'll say let's eliminate the Senyaku.
Okay, so no one from Senyaku.
No one Senyaku could win.
Oh boy, no one in Senyaku.
Yeah, who's your winner from Agashiro ranks?
I almost feel like it would be better for us. It would be cool. Maybe we should do this next time. Maybe next tournament is break the Banzuke up into like four segments and pick a winner from each of those segments.
Mm.
So like we'll go with like
we could do that right now. Why not? So Senyaku. Yeah.
Okay.
Do a live.
So we'll Senyaku, Sakewake, and Komasubi only, but we'll include Ozeki because it's Ozeki, and then it becomes Senyaku for two ranks, and then for whatever reason. So yeah, sure. Let's do this live. So from your Senyaku and up with no Yokozuna being present, I'd probably go with Terra Fuji.
Yeah, I'd also go Terra Fuji, but my hot take is still Takakesho.
Yeah, if I had to go, it's another person. I'd keep an eye on Asanayama. I don't think anyone else in there I have enough confidence to keep it together if they're on the leaderboard. But Asanayama and Terra Fuji, I think, have proven that they can do it.
Mm. All right, so we go to like the next.
So you want to take like the next five?
Yeah, let's do the next. Let's do the next five. So top five.
Okay, so top five. Yeah, like I'm looking at this and like.
I want to say Wakatake Kage and Tobizaru, but
see, that's what I would also say. I'm also thinking Wakatake Kage could be your winner in there. But like Ono shows for like he's had some good tournaments where he's shown up, but like,
and he's the giant killer. He's like,
yeah, he's missed a spoiler.
And Hokuto Fuji is so consistent now that I know. I didn't realize how consistent he was. It took me apparently 10 tournaments to realize that.
He just kind of hovers around one or two.
Yeah,
I mean, so yeah, he could be your top, your Magashiro.
So let's change a little bit. So, best record out of the top five.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what like the best record winner of those five groups. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So
best record.
I'm gonna have to go Hokuto Fuji, I think.
I'm gonna go Wakatake Kage.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to take these notes down.
Yeah, so we can talk about them on next week.
Yeah, well, next week. So
the tournament starts this coming Sunday, right?
Yes.
Night, So
we both had Terra Fuji, right, in the first group?
Terra Fuji.
And then I guess our failbacks or fallbacks would be for me, Asanoyama, and you think Takakesho.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll still go with Terra Fuji. And then I guess this is pending if he doesn't pull out with an injury, which
that's true.
Because
yeah.
I want, once again, I want to say this though, consistency. Give me consistency and I'll be happy. So Magashira 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Waka.
Yeah, I'll go with Hokuto Fuji.
Okay.
So we got that. 6 through 10.
Right. So we got Magashira 6 through Magashira 10. There we go. 6 through 10.
Oh, this is such a mess down here.
It is. Twitchy Notion, if he was performing better, I would have said him from this group of guys, because he's won a tournament before. Like, I like Ichinojo, and he was killing it early last tournament, and then he fell apart. Endo is Mr. Inconsistency. Wow, this is a hard group to look at.
Yes, this is a tough one.
So 6 through 10. I'm going to go with, I think I'm going to go with Teretsu Yoshi. That's going to be my pick. Only because he's on the lower end of it, so he'll likely get a lot of double-digit guys, and he'll probably only face as high as potentially 4 or 5. But, yeah, so I'll take Teretsu Yoshi.
I want to go... And out of this pack,
I feel like we should have done like a sumo fantasy thing where we like, do this, we break it up, we draft, and
I'm gonna go with Endo.
Ooh,
I think he's gonna be on his peak, not his valley. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Endo.
Let's see what I want to see what his record's been when he's been that low to see. It's actually been a while since he's been down here.
Yeah, he pulled out too. So I'm hoping that the extra time
gives him a
little bit of an advantage.
All right, so now we're going 11 through 17.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
See, I'm always so biased because the minute I see anyone from the Sadako Take stable, I have to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So this is going to be Marishiro 11 through Marishiro 17.
Hmm.
I'm going to go with, let's see.
I want to go Kaisei.
See, for me, I'm between Ishiura and Kota no Waka had a good tournament just two Bashos ago. So he was 10-5 at Marishiro 15.
I don't want to be a fanboy and pick. If out of the Kotos, I would pick Koto Echo. Mm. But I don't want to be a fanboy, so I'm going to say Kaisei. We'll have the best record out of the bottom here.
Okay. And I'm going to go with. Oh, boy. I'm just going to go with Kota no Waka. I think I have some faith in him. So I'll go with that.
Like it. It's a solid choice.
Yeah, and you got Kaisei. Yeah, I suppose this is very similar to, I guess the whole fantasy thing is similar to what, our man from Shamanikan does. He does something very similar to what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I should probably sign up for that. do that. But yeah, so our picks are, to recap, it's Taruno Fuji for both of us. I got Waka Takakage. You got Okita Fuji from Magashira 6 through 10. I got Taritsu Yoshi. You got Endo. And for 11 through 17, I got Kota no Waka. You have Kaisei.
Okay.
Solid
group. I like it. I think it'll be interesting to see how that ends up.
Yeah, and then the winner just gets bragging rights, apparently.
Yeah. Cool. Well,
yeah.
I think this is where we can wrap it.
Yeah, I will make one other thing. I'm excited about. So, when we visited the Sadako Take stable, remember that young guy who was just tearing it up? Was like
mm-hmm.
consistently
like fighting like everybody.
Yes, he was. It was like fight. He would be like 10 matches in a row and then he would lose one and then he'd get back in and he'd fight and he'd go another tear again. I don't know if it was Koto Kuzan, but he's sitting at the top of Makushita right now.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to him.
Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And then I think Oho is back up. Another guy that I was looking at. That's a potential fun guy to watch down in Juryo. And then obviously I want to keep an eye on Wakamoto Haru, who is Waka Takakage's brother.
Mm.
So, Takakage. But yeah, and another guy I guess to keep an eye on, Abi. He was Magashira 53 or Makushita 53. He is now Makushita 7.
That's right. Yeah, he moved up.
Yeah, he won 7-0. If he wins again, he'll be up in Juryo. If he competes well, we could see him possibly by November.
Yeah, and then he'll never use social media ever again.
Yeah, I believe it when I see it.
Right. All right. Well, on that note, unless you got anything else?
Nope. Just you can find us on Twitter at Super Sumo Bros, SuperSumoBrothers.com, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Google Play.
Someday we'll be professionals and like have recordings for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, we probably should just do that at some point.
I will also say, I'll wrap this up by saying, if anyone hasn't, I've probably already mentioned this in one of our episodes, but if you haven't already listened to the Bruce Springsteen Barack Obama podcast,
you did mention that.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. They are, like I only mentioned it because we listened to the last episode last night. The other night, not last night, but a few nights ago. But
is it still running or is it an old?
No, podcast? it's done now. I think it was like 10 episodes. It's called Renegades. It's pretty good, even if you don't like Barack Obama or Bruce Springsteen. It's just some pretty interesting talk because like, you know, Barack Obama's from like Hawaii. So like, you know, he experienced a little bit of racism, but like nothing what's in the city. In like a city in the United States around that time, and like Bruce Springsteen's like a white boy from New Jersey, so it's like he got to see all the craziness happen but be like a bystander. So I don't know. It's super interesting, highly recommend it. It's on Spotify. So check that out. And cool. They're way better than we are.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. I hope the former president of the United States and a singer are better at doing a podcast than we are. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you in roughly like 10 days-ish.
Yeah, roughly.
All right.
Later.